This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, episode number 138, Gastritis and Ayurvedic Treatments. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast today, and a happy new year to all of you. We are just finishing up 2021, and it has been a humdinger, there's a good word for you, a humdinger of a year, just so much that has been creating a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of emotion for many of us. And in some ways, it's kind of nice to just close the book on 2021 and move forward with new intentions. And I'm going to be doing several series episodes about manifestation, about intentions. We're going to have some fun guests coming up for you in this new year. So I'm really excited about how that's all unfolding. But if you notice, my voice does not sound its normalness, and I have been kind of suffering from a little bit of a head cold this last couple days, and just taking some time to rest, rejuvenate, take my nutrition in, and really work on some good herbal medicines to help me to feel a little bit better. So I am coming out of it enough that I can record a podcast with you today. I'm going to start today's episode with a story. About 3 weeks ago, my daughter just seemed to chronically have stomach pain in the morning before she'd go to school. She's almost 9 years old. She's in the third grade, and we thought maybe there was some social anxiety going on. We moved in August, and so she's at a new school, and we thought, well, maybe she just doesn't want to go to school because she is nervous or something's going on there. So after we kind of explored that as a potential option, we realized maybe that's not actually what's going on, and we started to kind of track what was happening with her tummy and why she was feeling sick and feeling a lot of pain, not just discomfort, but actual pain. And I started to get worried when we had a couple nights where she ended up overnight in our room, really sick, throwing up. And I thought, oh goodness, what is happening with this child? And she seemed to have more sharp stabbing pain. And as a mom, you tend to worry, especially when things happen in the middle of the night with your kids and stomachs. And so I'm thinking, it's got to be her appendix, right? She's little, maybe she's got an infection in there. And then it would kind of subside. And so we watched it over about a week and a half period. Now, we were visiting some family in Utah because we live in Wyoming now. So we're in Utah visiting some family, and we were staying at their home. And she, again, woke up with this horrible stomach pain. And so I just decided this is ridiculous. We're just going to go and have them just check just to make sure it's not appendicitis. And then if it's not, then I can use some natural remedies and we can figure out how to help her that way. So we go into the doctor. They do an exam. Check everything out. It's not the appendix, and he proclaims it to be gastritis. Now, gastritis is an inflammation of the GI tract, specifically in the stomach area. So it's like the folds of the stomach. You get a lot of abdomen pain, tenderness in the stomach, or kind of near the rib cage, which is why I was thinking it was more of the appendix, right? And the folds of the stomach can get enlarged, and it actually can create loss and death of the acid-producing cells within the body if you end up with something like H. pylori bacteria involved. So it's not something to be taken lightly, but at the same time, they didn't do a full blood panel or anything. So I was thinking from more of an Ayurvedic standpoint, let's kind of examine what has been going on in her life that could have been causing some of this gastritis or this inflammation. So from an Ayurvedic standpoint, gastritis is also called Amla Pitta. If it progresses outside of the stomach and actually begins to move up in the form of acid reflux, then we call it Urdhvaga Amla Pitta or Urdhva. And that just means upward moving. So if it's Urdhva Amla Pitta, it's upward moving stomach acid. If it's Amla Pitta, it's more contained just in the stomach and inflammation of the stomach. So we often tend to think, okay, well, then there's hyperacidity. There's too much acid in the stomach. And that can cause the problems. And the doctor, the Western doctor, was recommending, you know, she take antacids and she stay away from acidic foods, some of those things. And while I didn't immediately discount what he was saying, I also know that there's other ways to look at gastritis besides just an excess amount of stomach acid, right? Because you can see how stress is involved with it and how your food patterns affect it. And sometimes it's not actually excessive stomach acid. Sometimes it's a lack of stomach acid, which is really interesting because it can be excess or deficient. And I think that's what gets overlooked oftentimes in Western medicine because we want to make sure it's not one of those, you know, that it's not the deficiency and we're trying to treat it by decreasing the acid. You can also have, like I mentioned, H. pylori bacterial infection, which can cause gastritis as well. And often as people age, their stomach lining tends to get a little bit thinner and they get more at risk of having gastritis. So there's a lot of factors kind of involved in it. But if we look at just the symptoms of what's happening here, it's more of a burning pain, which makes you immediately think Pitta's got to be involved because there's burning going on. And it's more in the upper abdomen, which is exactly what she was experiencing when she was lucid enough. When somebody's hurting, they have a hard time describing, especially when they're a child. But when she was lucid enough, she was able to show us where it was hurting, and it was all that upper abdomen area. And she had a lot of belching. She was calling them sulfur burps. She was feeling bloated, and she was really nauseous to the point that she was actually throwing up. And she was relieved, or the pain was alleviated, when she did throw up, and when her stomach was empty, she felt a little bit better. So it's really similar symptoms to having an ulcer, and gastritis can actually develop into an ulcer. So we have to be really careful that we're treating it properly right here at the beginning. So there's different kinds of gastritis. From an Ayurvedic standpoint, we know that everything is not one size fits all, right? So it's not just going to be, oh, it's always Pitta involved. It can also be Vata involved. There can be Pitta influencing it. And even Kapha plays a role in what's happening within the stomach. So in Vata type of gastritis, the Vata is accumulating and we're seeing dryness. So what's happening here is that the secretions or the protective lining in the stomach is drying up. And so there's not a good protection against stomach acid levels. So it may not be that you have too much stomach acid. It could just be that the mucus protective lining is too thin. And so that normal level of stomach acid is causing pain and irritation there. And so we look at it as Samana Vayu, which is the subdosha of Vata, has been aggravated. And that's the subdosha that's within that stomach area, within the small intestines, that helps us to absorb nutrients. And so we also can see that the Agni, or the digestive fire, is not constant. Right? Sometimes it's high, sometimes it's low. We know Vata is variable. So those are the factors that we're kind of looking at with Vata, is that decreased mucosal stomach lining, the dryness, that's an overall factor here. There's a lot of dryness going on, and that variableness to digestive fire. So we'll talk a little bit about how to help some of those in just a minute. Pitta type of gastritis is due to excess Pitta or heat in the tissues of the body, which are specifically within the digestive tract, right? And so this fire can overwhelm the protective lining of the stomach. And so your acid levels can be high or they can be low, depending on what's happening with your Agni. So when your Agni is low, your fire is low, then you're going to see Ama there because you're not being able to burn off what you're needing to. So either way, we know that when there's Pitta involved, it's causing heat that is drying up the protective lining of the stomach. That might sound the same as Vata, but Vata is where there's actually a dryness that's decreasing the lining of the stomach. Pitta, there's heat that's decreasing the lining of the stomach. So the outcome is similar. The cause is different. So we do treat them a little bit differently. So what about Kapha? Now, Kapha does make the mucus lining of the stomach. So you would think that Kapha would never cause problems with inflammation, right? And it's not that Kapha directly causes those problems, but it can be a precursor to it. So what happens when we have a Kapha is that we're overwhelming the stomach. There's excess mucus there. It might creating a heavy filling in the belly. You might have a coating on the tongue, mucus in the sinuses, you might have some weight gain going on. So all of those are Kapha type symptoms. And all of those cause a buildup in mucus, which causes the acids to have to increase in order to counteract that, which is also causing that excess acid production. So it's kind of a roundabout way to look at it as far as how the Kapha is affecting that increase in stomach acid production, but it is something that we want to take into account. And so when we look at the overall symptoms, if we're trying to figure out what we're trying to treat, we want to see, is there excess dryness occurring that's causing the burning within the stomach? Is there excess heat that then leads to burning off the mucosal lining? And so you can find those in other symptoms, right? We're looking at just heat within the emotions, heat on the tongue. Is your tongue bright red? Or are you feeling a lot of rashing? Are you having a lot of hot flashes? Are you having a lot of frustration, like a lot of emotion there? And then with the Kapha part, if we're having more of like that heavy lethargy, excess mucus going on, that can be causing some of that increase in stomach acid production in order to burn off the excess mucus. So our body loves to find balance, and everything it's doing is to try and find that balance. So we first want to look at what is going on, right? Are we having more of a Kapha type, more of a Pitta type, or more of a Vata type? Knowing that when inflammation is involved, Pitta tends to kind of be in there somewhere. So we're usually treating some of the Pitta with that as well. So let's start with our Kapha type. for treatments. Cardamom is the number one treatment for clearing excess mucus. So if we're having excess mucus going on, we want to clear that out. So adding cardamom into your foods, if you're cooking oatmeal or something like that, put cardamom in. You can actually buy cardamom pods and chew them after your meals, which is really great. Exercise and movement is really important when we have that excess kapha because we're helping to boost the metabolism and get that excess mucus flowing and broken up so we can eliminate it. Pranayama, breath practice, things like the Kapalabhati breath is really good, bellows breath, just really getting that air moving through your body. And then some really great herbs. One of my favorites is bitter orange peel, and it helps to clear excess stomach mucus. So when you have that nausea, it's often because there's too much mucus in the stomach. So bitter orange peel, which is actually more of a Chinese herb, but it's very helpful for this as well. And then we want to have foods that are going to stimulate the bowels. We want to keep things moving really well. So bitters are very important here. You can have steamed dandelion leaves to help increase peristalsis. That's the movement of the bowels through the small intestines and large intestines. Steamed kale or chard. Notice I'm saying they're all steamed, okay? We're not having them raw. We're steaming them. Bitter melon is really good, and neem. Neem is a good herb that you can buy in capsules. You can buy it in powder form and add that into foods. It has a really bitter taste, so you'll notice it's pretty strong there. And then taking digestives. So Avipatikar is a really good churna that's helpful for breaking down some of that excess mucus. Trikachu is one as well that can have a little bit of excess heat. So if we already have inflammation going on, we want to be careful how much we're using of that. But that is a churna or a powder mixture that you can add in as well. And then sipping warm water consistently throughout the day is going to help your stomach. Okay, so that's just basic for kapha. We're going to cover lifestyle here in just a minute for all three. But for kapha first, that's what we want to focus on. Now, when we get more into a pitta inflammation, you see this more often in people over the age of 50, but you can have it more common too in younger children as well. And that's what I was experiencing more with my daughter. But we want to do more of light, easy to digest foods. We have to decrease the burden on the stomach. So sticking with foods like khichdi or simple rice, staying away from heavy meats and dairy, heavy grains. Mung beans are a good one to add in. So when you're looking at a food, you want to think, how hard is this going to be for my stomach to break it down? Staying away from processed foods, things that have sugar in them. All of those are going to increase inflammation. And bringing in cooling drinks. Pomegranate is a really good one. Cranberry is great. And one of my favorites is just to have aloe juice on hand. And then you can drink that aloe juice first thing in the morning or throughout the day just to help with some of that heat and inflammation. And then stay away from the hot stuff. That could be bell peppers, chili peppers. The doctor was super funny with my daughter because he told her, you really got to cut back on all that coffee you're drinking because that coffee is just making things worse. And she giggled because, of course, she doesn't drink coffee. But that was pretty funny. If you are suspicious that you might have H. pylori infection, I recommend getting tested for that and taking herbs for the infection or possibly even antibiotics, which I don't normally recommend antibiotics. But sometimes if that H. pylori is really entrenched, that might be the way you want to go. Now, other herbs that are really good for inflammation are things like barberry, amalaki, or amla. You can actually buy amla juice. I just ordered a big case of it for my daughter for her to have to see if we can have that help with that. Aloe vera, like we mentioned. Turmeric is really good for anti-inflammatory, and licorice. If you're going to do licorice, I would recommend that's a between the meal thing where you make a tea and have licorice tea between your meals to help with some of that heat, decreasing inflammation. Stay away from carbonation, no carbonated drinks, and dehydration can cause a lot of issues because we need that moisture in our bodies to create that protective barrier. So make sure you're extra hydrated, that you're getting plenty of fluids in. Okra is a really good kind of a slimy, mucusy type of food. It's really helpful for your body to maintain that good mucosal lining. Oatmeal is a really great food to eat here, and marshmallow root. So since we have had this issue with my daughter, we started her on oatmeal in the mornings, adding in a little bit of licorice tea. She's not in love with tea. She's still young enough. She doesn't think that's very fun. But just trying to help her and then getting that aloe vera juice in. And just those things have seemed to have a huge positive impact on how she is feeling, which is a great thing. Now, when we get into the vata side of things and that dryness, we really want to work on that invariability to the appetite. So get more consistency with when you're eating. Make sure all the food has got a lot of moisture in it. So all of those things that I listed that are helpful for pitta, as far as the okra, the oatmeal, the marshmallow root, the licorice, the aloe vera, the amla, all of those are going to be helpful when you're in vata situations as well. And then some things you might want to do is avoid foods like beans, which are very vata provoking. Definitely for all people, avoid peanuts. Take out meat, take out eggs, depending on how you prepare them. If it's something that is prepared as like a hard-boiled egg, it's harder to digest. If you're dropping an egg into a soup and having it cook within the soup, much easier to digest. But lime is really good for stimulating digestion for a vata. Having antimicrobials if you need those, so just making sure we don't have that H. pylori there. And sometimes our poor little vatas get really constipated, so making sure we have some laxatives like triphala in your plan in order to keep things moving. And make sure you're staying warm. We want to keep blood vessels open, drinking warm water or broth, and making sure that your palate stays moist. So if your mouth tends towards dryness, that is a sign of what's happening inside your body. So we need to make sure the mouth is staying moist and that you have good circulation going on. Now, as we know in Ayurveda, all illness has its root cause in digestion. And digestion is affected largely not just by what we're eating, but by our routines, patterns, lifestyle, right? So when we're having what we might call dietary indiscretions, or we're eating a lot of sweets, or we're having a lot of sugar, or we're not eating at the proper times, we're eating too much food, then we can be leading ourselves into more severe forms of gastritis. So as I was thinking about all of these, I looked at my daughter and I thought, okay, she's not even nine. She's just barely nine. And she's already having these problems with her stomach. So what is she doing and what am I not seeing? How am I not helping her in that area? Because as a parent, I feel really responsible. It's one thing if I choose to make bad choices that cause my digestion to have issues, but it's a whole nother thing if I'm letting her just run rampant. And so I started watching her and I noticed that she tends to avoid the vegetables at meals, that she tends to eat erratically, to say she's not hungry at dinner and then at 9 p.m. she's wanting food, and that she's wanting to kind of graze throughout the day and that there's a little bit of irregularity there. Then I'm also watching her temperament and her emotions, and I'm seeing a lot of heat in her temperament and a lot of fire in her emotion. We always say she's kind of spicy. And so I'm thinking there's a lot of pitta going on there as well. So to treat her, I thought the first thing we've got to do is get onto a regular schedule. So this is how we treat anyone with gastritis, not just my daughter. So we decided, okay, what's your schedule when you're at school? And potentially the problems that we're having right now are because of the irregularity of the holidays, right? So we might be having this acute gastritis as opposed to chronic gastritis, but we need to get back onto a regular schedule. So we've gone back to having her meals at the same time that she would be having them when she was in school, lunch at the same time as she would be eating it when she's at school, and having dinner a lot earlier. And that was one thing I was really impressed with the Western doctor, was his recommendation that she set regular meal times and not eat after 7. And it's been fun to watch how she's really sticking to that. She'll look at the clock and say, oh no, mom, it's like 7:10. I can't eat anything else because then I'm going to get sick. And her desire to not feel sick is so strong that it's overwhelming her desire to have whatever food that's being offered after that time. So that was the first thing, get on a regular schedule and regular digestive plan. The next thing is to make sure that your meals are not too large, that they're nice and balanced so that you can digest them, that you're not combining foods in a way that are going to cause issues, right? You're not having fruit with your meals because that's going to cause digestive problems. So just overall following those good healthy eating guidelines is going to be really, really useful. Noticing if you are hydrating well, making sure you're getting a lot of fluid in through the day. And that might mean that you're adding a little bit of natural electrolytes to your fluid so that it can absorb better. So it could just be adding a pinch of Himalayan rock salt to your water before you drink it, or adding in a little bit of Himalayan rock salt and a squeeze of lime or lemon can be useful. If you want to add a little sweetener in there, you could put a little tiny bit of maple syrup with that. But just noticing how much are you drinking throughout the day. Are you sipping it warm, or are you just chugging large glasses of cold water? Because that's going to definitely influence things negative. So what is so interesting about all this is to see how much the lifestyle's tying in. Next thing is to look at stress. So where are you feeling stress? I know for my daughter, she was having some social issues with some mean girls at school and was having problems with her emotions about wanting to go to school, which was then leading her stomach to feel more upset and then causing more problems with inflammation. So being able to overcome those, find safe ways to express your emotions, journaling, talking about it, movement, yoga, breath practice, all of those things are going to help to decrease stress. So those are really useful. And we talked about specifically with Kapha, Vata, and Pitta, things that you can do that help with each of those individual doshas. Some generic things, or I guess I should say some tridoshic treatments that can be really helpful is the use of amla. And I mentioned that I had ordered some amla juice because I want to try this with my daughter and see if it really helps. But amla is also called Indian gooseberry. It's found in triphala. It's also found in chaiwan prash. So those are two things that you could add in when you're having gastritis or stomach inflammation issues, is that daily triphala as well as that chaiwan prash jam, which is really useful. But amla is very helpful for acidity, for indigestion, vomiting, any of those stomach issues. So the recommendation is to drink about 30 milliliters of amla juice every morning when the stomach is empty. And that can be really helpful with gastritis. So I'll keep you posted on that one to let you know how that goes with her. The other one is licorice. And I've been adding that in. She's doing a little tea in the midday. And licorice is actually really good. It's got a sweet taste to it. And some people really don't love it, but I personally adore it and have met many of my clients really, really enjoy it. But this licorice is used to soothe inflammation. It can actually repair damage to the stomach lining. And if you are having issues with H. pylori, it will inhibit the growth of that. Okay, so licorice can be really, really useful. So you can either purchase licorice tea, but you'd have to use a lot of containers of it because the tea packets you buy at the grocery store are not very strong. They're not medicinal quantities. So instead, I would take 1 teaspoon of licorice powder, 1/2 teaspoon of ghee, and 1 teaspoon of honey and mix those together. Okay, you can do that into a tea or you could just take it straight, but I personally like to put it together into a tea for her to drink. And this is something you could have twice a day, and it's a really good home remedy for gastritis, especially the pain, because it's going to soothe that inflammation. I mentioned before it's best to take it between meals. So if you're going to have it twice a day, I would do it in between breakfast and lunch, and then again in the afternoon prior to eating dinner. Now, ginger is something that is very medicinally beneficial because it's an antioxidant and it's anti-inflammatory. So it's really one of the top Ayurvedic remedies for gastritis. If you're having chronic gastritis that's been ongoing, you could take a glass of buttermilk with 1/8 teaspoon of roasted cumin seed powder and dried ginger powder in the morning and in the afternoon. Okay, this could be very useful. And you can also make this a little bit more potent if you want to use ginger juice. So you could mix 1 teaspoon of ginger juice and 1 teaspoon of honey and take that before your meals. So I would do it before your breakfast and your lunchtime meal. And the other way to take it is to add ginger root to a cup of hot water and steep it, strain, and then drink that. And you can put in a little honey. So you got a couple options of how you could take ginger. And ginger is really a useful one as well. If you're noticing you have a lot of heat going on, this might not be something that you want to start with right away. Okay, if you have purely pitta type of amla pitta, lots of inflammation caused by heat, then this is one that I would wait until you've gotten a little bit more healing going on before you add the ginger. Aloe vera we mentioned. So aloe vera juice drunken daily, about 30 milliliters, really helps with inflammation and especially if you're having a pitta type of gastritis. So it's very good for relieving gastritis and heartburn symptoms. So if you're having like a heavy burning in your chest, if you're having a sour taste in your mouth, if you're having those sulfur burps, like I mentioned that my daughter was having, then you want to combine this aloe into your diet. And you can also take aloe juice and combine it with amla and drink those together. Okay, so you could take your amla powder and actually add the amla into that juice, which I think is a fantastic way to take the aloe. Cardamom, we mentioned before, is really, really great, especially if you have a lot of excess mucus built up. But it's really helpful to just benefit from the anti-inflammatory properties of this, and it helps if you are having the reflux. Okay, so cardamom is a good one. And then fennel. Fennel is one that you see a lot in restaurants, like Indian restaurants. You can chew a little bit of the seeds after your meals, or you can take the fennel and soak the seeds in water overnight and then drink it in the next morning. Just drink the water and strain out the seeds. Okay, so you kind of make like an infusion. So two really easy ways to get fennel in. And then one of the last ones I wanted to share is ajwain. Ajwain is also called carom seeds or celery seeds. And they have kind of an interesting taste, but they are really good for gastritis. You can mix 1 teaspoon of the ajwain seeds and dried ginger with a little bit of rock salt. Okay, so 1 teaspoon of the ajwain seeds, 1 teaspoon of dried ginger with just a pinch of rock salt, and then take 1 teaspoon of this mixture with a glass of warm water twice a day. Okay, so obviously we're not going to do every single one of these treatments right away. I would start with one thing at a time and kind of see what's working for you. But that's one way that you could do this. Another way to do the Ajuan seeds is you could do a decoction. So that means you would take 2 cups of water and boil that with 4 teaspoons of Ajuan seeds until the water comes down to 1 cup. Okay, so that's what a decoction is. And then strain and drink 1/2 cup of this mixture twice a day. All right, so that's really helpful if you have pain. So as a little summary of those, I would recommend that you add in amla, that you add in licorice, ginger, aloe vera, cardamom, fennel, and ajwain. And as you're adding these in, just add in one thing at a time. Take it for a couple of days, see how that feels. And then you can try adding in an additional one if you're not seeing relief to those symptoms. We don't ever want to overwhelm the body, so you may have to experiment to see which one is right for you and your dosha and what you're going through right now. But I know that as we work on gastritis and stomach issues and focus on digestion, that we can see big improvements in the way that our body feels, the way that our body is able to process food. And we know digestion is the root of all Ayurvedic healing and wellness. So I will keep you updated on how my daughter is doing as we implement these new remedies and what we find works best for her. And it's just really hard as a mama to see your 9-year-old hurting like that. So we'll keep working on it and get her into a better routine. And it just shows that, you know, no matter how much you know as a parent, you always have to be vigilant about how your kids are implementing and living it so that you can help them with the knowledge that you have gained. So I hope you have a beautiful, happy new year, that you are excited about moving into 2022, and just look forward to some of our fun episodes coming up that are about intentions and manifestation and how we're going to just take on 2022 in a beautiful, self-care, loving, gentle way. Have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you soon. Namaste.
Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it. You can connect with me online at AyurvedaLifeSchool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.